Okay. Right, welcome everybody. So first of all, today's share is sponsored by Judy and Kenny Goldman in honor of the yard site of Molly Goldman. See, her name is Malkus, Kenny's mother. The share is also sponsored in honor of a very special birthday for Alex Goldman, who I remember well, whose impact on the shul was huge for the people who get to daven with him, people who see him every week. May he continue to have arifas yamim and continue nachas to him and his whole family. That sponsorship is the Federbushes, the Tenenbaums, the Feigenbaums, the Orlinskys, the Katzes, the Goldmans, the Schlangers, the Stolls, Debbie Sondheim, the Metzgers, the Wartelskys. I think that's it. All right, so happy birthday to him and Yashkov to everybody for that recognition. Okay, because Josh complained other time, we'll do a mitzvah from Nassau, which is not my parsha Shavua, but it is yours. It's a mitzvah we've done before, but there's so many halachic aspects to Birchas Kohanim. I thought we could expand on things we've talked about before and hopefully understand them better. Okay, so we're going to do Birchas Kohanim. We'll start, you know, with the sheet in a second, but let's start with the following question, which I've always been interested in, and that is, does God really need our help or the help of the Kohanim in order to bless the Jewish people? Right? It's a fundamentally strange mitzvah if we understand it to be that God has commanded Kohanim to bless the rest of the Jewish people. Right? It almost sounds like it belongs to another religion. There are these intermediaries who are necessary for us to have a relationship with God. Less challenging, but equally interesting is the Ahava part. Also doesn't sound so Jewish. You know, it's not just that God commanded the Kohanim to bless the rest of us, but he asked them to do it be Ahava, with love. Okay, that's strange. I'll admit in advance, I'm not sure I have an answer to that one, but it's something to contemplate. The whole different set of mitzvah of questions is the following. Whose mitzvah is it? Are we the non-Kohanim, like lulavs? You know, we're like the cheftza shel mitzvah upon which something has to be done? Or could you argue that we also have a part in the mitzvah? Again, is it a commandment to Kohanim? And okay, we the rest of us are some necessary element of the bracha, but we have no role in it. Or could you argue, as I will, that non-Kohanim also have a chelek in the bracha, even though clearly the mitzvah is aimed at Kohanim? Last question, which comes up often and is an interesting topic in and of itself, is how often is this mitzvah? We all know that the minhag in Israel is to duchen every day. And in Chutz La'aretz, you know, there are various minhagim, but I think, you know, Tinek is, as I remember it, it's still just Shalosh Regalim and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
No, there's a Sephardi minyan of duchens every day.
Okay.
In B'nai Shor.
Okay. For those who don't daven in that Sephardi minyan, could you argue that you're in violation of a mitzvah saseh? Make it easier. Let's say a Kohen wakes up in the morning, doesn't feel like going to shul. Is he in violation of a mitzvah saseh? Is it a daily mitzvah? Or how do we know? When God says to the Kohanim, you know, bless the Jewish people, how do we know how often? It's the same question we can ask with respect to tefillin, right? It's the same question we can ask with respect to a whole range of mitzvahs that are not time bound. For example, you know, we know when the mitzvah of shofar is, we know when the mitzvah of matzah is, we know when the mitzvah of lulav is, et cetera, et cetera. They're all time bound. We know in the mitzvah of Kiddush is. But there's a whole bunch of mitzvahs where the Torah just says, this is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to wear tefillin. It doesn't say every day. It doesn't say once a week. There's a mitzvah for Kohanim to bless the Jewish people. It does not say how often. Okay, so how do we relate to mitzvahs that are not necessarily bound by time as given in the Torah? With that, we can look at a sheet and start making progress. Here we go. So here are the psukim in your parasha this week. Vayaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Daber el Aharon ve'el banav lemor. Ko tivarechu et b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. So you could argue, maybe it's not really a commandment. Ko tivarechu et b'nei Yisrael. This is the way they should do it if they want to. But there's really no shitos like that. Everybody agrees that this is the mitzvah saseh. Everybody, as far as I know, counts it in the Tariag mitzvahs. So this is the mitzvah of blessing B'nai Yisrael. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha, Yah Hashem panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Hashem panavelecha v'yosem l'cha shalom. Right? There are three parts to the mitzvah of blessing B'nai Yisrael. And then you have the last pasuk. V'samu et shemi al B'nai Yisrael va'ani avarachem. And you should place my name on B'nai Yisrael va'ani avarachem. What do those last two words mean? Who's it referring to? Va'ani avarachem.
So I think Rashi quotes two shitos, but it's clearly two ways to read it. Va'ani avarachem, presumably, I will bless the Kohanim. You know, the Kohanim are losing out because they're blessing the Jewish people. Who's going to bless them? So one way to understand it is va'ani avarachem, I will bless the Kohanim. The other is va'ani avarachem, I will bless the Jewish people. Yes, it's true. The Kohanim are doing something and they're blessing the Jewish people, I suppose, in my name, says God. But I will confirm their bracha on B'nai Yisrael when they've completed blessing them, which is comforting to us in the sense that, I think our instinct is we don't so much want to be blessed by human beings. We want to be blessed by God. And so that reading is, if the Kohanim do it correctly, God will then come and bless us directly, which is what we really want. Okay, those are the psukim. There are many discussions about the placement in this week's parsha and why it's placed exactly there, but let's just focus on the mitzvah. So there's some mitzvah. The mitzvah is Ko tivarechu et b'nei Yisrael amor lohem. This is how you should bless the Jewish people. The Rambam cuts through all of it and says as follows in source number two. It's mitzvah chavav, number 26 in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Hishe nitztavu hakohanim. So the first thing is the Rambam is clear. We, non-Kohanim, do not have this mitzvah. She nitztavu hakohanim. The Kohanim were commanded to do this, not the rest of us. What were they commanded? Livarech et Yisrael b'chol yom. The Rambam, without really having a source for it, says that the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim is daily. He knows it from the Pasuk. So I understand how the Pasuk tells the Rambam that there's a mitzvah for Kohanim to do it and not the rest of us. But how does the Pasuk tell the Rambam that there's a mitzvah on Kohanim to do it daily? It doesn't say that in the Pasuk. So a bunch of Achronim discuss this. Rav Asher Weiss uses this as an example to a broad idea that he has, which is he thinks the fallback for every mitzvah in the Torah that is not time-bound in its commandment is daily. He says, right, it doesn't say any place about tefillin that you have to do it every day. He says, when the Torah tells you to do something and it doesn't tell you when, the assumption is it means every day. Okay, there are exceptions and there are other rules that have to play into it. But he thinks as a general rule, that is the fallback position with respect to mitzvahs in the Torah that do not have specific times in which we're commanded to do them, that the fallback is daily. Okay, that's probably a Kesef Mishnah that could be supported in other places. But it's interesting just to note, if you come across a mitzvah and you don't know how often, how frequently to do it, he thinks the assumption is it's daily. Okay, now, let's go back to our first question. Our first question was, what's up with God needing help? You know, what's the idea behind Kohanim blessing the Jewish people? Why can't God do it himself? So here we come to a fundamental Sefer HaChinuch. You know, he expresses the idea in a whole bunch of different ways, but it's really an idea that comes up very often in the Sefer HaChinuch. First, he describes the mitzvah in source number three.
Shenitztavu hakohanim sheyivarchu Yisrael b'chol yom. He's obviously just copying. He took that from the Rambam. Shenemar kotivarchu et bnei Yisrael amor laham. Now we come. The rationale. Says the Chinuch. Mishor she'amitzvah, second line. Shechafeit Hashem bituvo hagadol livarech amo. Al yad hamishartim hachonim tamid beit Hashem. God wants the Jewish people to be blessed, and he wants that blessing to flow through or to be given by his chosen. You know, we're all chosen, but then there's the chosen of the chosen. Who are they? They're the people who camp at his house, at the Beit HaMikdash. V'chol machshavtam d'veikab avodato v'nafsham kishura b'yirato kol hayom. Here the Chinuch says something that perhaps we don't see in our own lives, but in the old days, he said, Kohanim who worship God, who work in the Beit HaMikdash, they're better, right? They're focused on Avodat Hashem. They're focused on their connection to God in a way that the rest of us aren't. So why does it matter for them to bless us? Says the Chinuch, U'bizchutam tachul habracha aleihem v'yitbarchu kol ma'aseihem. And through their merit, they being better than the rest of us, their merit can lead to a blessing to us and a blessing on all the things that they do. V'inom Hashem aleihem, and God's sweetness will be on them. Now, here it comes. Says the Chinuch, Va'al titma, and don't ask leimor to say, V'lu chafetz Hashem bebirkatam yitzav itam et habracha. If God wants to bless me, he knows where I live. Let him bless me. Why does he need help? Why do we need Kohanim? Says the Chinuch, Ki kvar hikdamti l'cha pamim rabot, as I've said many times, Ki b'koach hechsher ma'aseinu tachul habracha aleinu. Says the Chinuch, his general philosophy is, God wants to be good to us. He loves us and he wants to be good to us. That's why he created the world. Elama, we have to be worthy of God's blessing. God wants us to do good things so that we'll be more worthy of his blessing. Ki yado baruch hu p'tucha l'kol shoel, b'hiyoto mukhshar u'mukhan l'kabalat hatov. God is willing. His hands, kiviyachal, are open to anybody who desires a blessing. Va'al ken, therefore. Ki bachar banu mikol ha'amim, God chose us from all the nations. V'ratza she'nizke b'tuvo, and he wants us to get good things. His hiranu vitzivanu lahachim ma'asenu u lahachshir gufenu b'mitzvotav lihiyotenu re'uyim el hatov. He wants us to do good things so that we will be worthy of his goodness. Gam tzivanu b'tuvo agadol levakesh b'menu habracha. He wants us to ask him for the bracha. B'shenishal ota al yidei ha'mishartim ha'tehoim. That we should ask for it through his pure servants, Kohanim. Ki kol ze yezchut l'nafshoteinu u'mitoch kach nizke b'tuvo. Because all of this will yield goodness for us, will be better for having done it. It's almost like, you know, it's like a play. It's like a charade, right? God says, I want to bless you. At the same time, God says, the rules are, the better you are, the more you do to deserve the blessing, the easier it is for the blessing to land on you. So therefore, I want you, the Jewish people, to ask, we'll come back to this, to ask for the blessing from Kohanim. I want the Kohanim to do it. You'll both be better for it. You for having asked for it, the Kohanim for having done what I asked. Therefore, the blessing will attach to you. I've used this example before, but I think it's exactly what the Chinuch means. The Chinuch thinks that God created a world for our benefit, a world in which, like metaphysically, particles of his goodness are floating in the air. It's easier for those particles to attach to people who are good as opposed to people who are less good. Masha lama davar doma, you know, it snows, but if the ground isn't cold enough, the snow doesn't stick. Says the Chinuch, God's goodness only sticks to people who are good. Those are the rules under which God created the world. So therefore, God wants us to be better so that his goodness can attach to us. One of the ways to be better is to have his chosen of the chosen, Kohanim, respond to our request for a blessing and give the blessing. Because by doing that, they're better and we're better. And therefore, under God's rules for the world, you know, we deserve the blessing. It's sort of like your kids, your grandchildren, you want them to ask you for something. You're desperate for them to ask you because you want to give it. But you want them to say please, you want them to say thank you, you want them to, you know, you have the present in the other room. You're going to give it to them. But somehow, it's more meaningful if they ask for it. Somehow, if they earn the present, it's easier for you to give it because we all like to tell ourselves we don't want to spoil our children, our grandchildren. So therefore, we want them to be better. Kiviyachol, that's what the Chinuch is saying about God. God wants us to be better. In order to be better, you know, we have to do Torah and mitzvot. And in this narrow sense, we should ask for the blessing. The blessing should be given by other human beings. And God then responds by endorsing the blessing. Okay, I think as a philosophic matter, it's a very, very compelling argument for why God doesn't do it himself. The same reason we often don't do things for our children or our grandchildren, because we want them, quote unquote, to earn it. God wants us to earn it. Okay. Now, let's go back to the second question. The second question is, how do we understand this mitzvah? Is it a daily mitzvah for Kohanim such that, again, a Kohen who doesn't go to shul is mevatel a mitzvah saseh? Could that be? And now that Henry pointed out that you have a minyan in Bnei Yeshurun that has Berachas Kohanim every day, do Kohanim have to daven in that minyan? If they don't, you know, are they mevatel a mitzvah saseh? So in source number 4, the Gemara in Sota says, Va'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol kohen she'eino ole leduchan, over bishlosha aseh. Any Kohen who doesn't go up, the duchan, that's why it's called duchaning. The word duchan means a platform, right? That's what they had in the Beis HaMikdash. So here the Gemara says, not just that he's mevatel one mitzvah, he's mevatel three mitzvahs. Ko tivarchu, amar lahem, and v'samu et shemi. Okay, the Gemara is probably not to be understood literally because no one thinks there really are three mitzvahs of Berachas Kohanim, but the Gemara certainly makes the case that a Kohen who doesn't go up to Duchan is mevatel a mitzvah saseh. Now the question is, you know, under what circumstances? Is it the case, again, that a Kohen who doesn't go to shul is mevatel a mitzvah saseh? If the minog in chutz laretz, which we'll talk about in a minute, if the minog in chutz laretz is incorrect, and really you're supposed to be duchening every day, a Kohen in Bnei Yeshurun who doesn't go to the minyan, which they duchen every day, is he mevatel a mitzvah saseh? So the Rosh thinks not. Source number 5, it's a famous shita. The Rosh says, Deha de amrinan de over ha Kohen begimul aseh. Right, that which we just said in the Gemara in Sota, that a Kohen who doesn't go up is mevatel three aseh. He says, Hainu kishehachazan korei Kohanim. That's only if you're in shul and the chazan or the gabbai says, you know, Kohanim, if you don't go up in response to that invitation, then the Rosh says you're in violate, you've been mevatel a mitzvah saseh, right? Because the mitzvah saseh, the amor lahem, because when it says in the pasuk, Ko tivarchu et bnei Yisrael, amor lahem, mitargaminan kad yemru lahon. When the non-Kohanim invite you, right? It turns out, I used to think that they call that Kohanim, it's like ready, set, start. All the Kohanim have to know when to start doing it together, so somebody sort of conducts them and says, 1, 2, 3, go, and they start doing it. But the Rosh says, no, that's not what it is. It's much more significant. It's a halachic invitation. When the Chazan says Kohanim, he does so as a representative of the non-Kohanim, fulfilling our obligation to invite Kohanim to bless us. I remember one of the questions we asked at the beginning was, is the mitzvah just for Kohanim or do we have a part in it also? So the Rush here hints to something significant. The halachic obligation of Kohanim to bless non-Kohanim only arises if the non-Kohanim invite the Kohanim to do so, which is why if the Chazan is a Kohen, which probably best that he's not, that the Chazan is a Kohen, somebody else has to say Kohanim. He can't, because he is a Kohen. So, but when the person says Kohanim, at that point, the Rush says, the imhu bebeit ha-knesset, kisha ha-chazan korei Kohanim ve'ino ola, over. He's in violation of a mitzvah saseh, it's bad. Ve'meino bebeit ha-knesset, ve'ino over. But the Rush says, you have to be in shul. You have to hear the Chazan say Kohanim, and then when you don't go, it looks like you're not interested in blessing the Jewish people. And in that moment, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. But if you're home, you were not invited to bless the Jewish people. So you certainly don't get the mitzvah. But the good news is that you're not mevatel the mitzvah saseh of Birchat Kohanim because you aren't invited. Okay, so that's a significant point. Again, so the Rush says two things. The Rush says, don't worry. But Kohen who doesn't go to shul or Kohen who goes to the 6:30 daily minyan in Bnei Asherin and not to the Sephardi one, didn't do anything wrong. It's only if you're in shul and they announce Kohanim and you don't go, at that moment you did something terribly wrong. You're mevatel mitzvah saseh min haTorah. Henry, you wanted to say something?
No, I wanted to ask a question. To your earlier point that it's the Kohanim's avoda that brings a certain kedusha to them that they're sharing. Is this, can you take this and expand that anybody who has a certain kedusha that devotes himself to avoda or Torah has a obligation to give bracha?
As I was saying it, like I saw that coming. Look, if you're asking me, do you want to get a bracha from Gedolei Yisrael? What's the downside? What the difference between Birchas Kohanim and getting a bracha from some gadol is Birchas Kohanim is in the Torah, right? God gave them a job. God describes the process by which it has to be done. You know, as far as I know, God did not command Gedolei Yisrael to give us brachos. I just think it's a different model. You're right. If you expand it enough, you say this person who maybe has a unique relationship with God maybe in a better position to get God's attention. I don't know. Again, I don't want to get in trouble for saying this. Some of it is, you know, smacks of another religion. Some of it smacks of a real thing, right? But I think the difference between Birkat Kohanim and getting a bracha from another person is Birkat Kohanim is a mitzvah satorah. So it ought to work in a more direct way.
So there's a custom I've seen it more in the Sephardi shuls that people walk over to Kohanim and, you know, to ask for a bracha stam.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I want the bracha that's in the Torah. You know, if you're in Israel, here's a big thing. After a bris, people go to the sandik to get a bracha. Okay. There's some Kabbalistic idea that if you were a sandik, you have, you know, or at weddings in Israel, people get a bracha from the chasan. Okay, you understand where it came from. I would much rather have a gadol b'Yisrael daven for me than give me a bracha. I'll tell you the truth. Like that, it makes more sense to me to ask somebody who I really, really respect to daven for me as opposed to just bless me directly. But, okay, so be it. Now, let's focus more now on an issue that we've been hinting at, which is whose mitzvah is it? So the Rambam was very clear. It's a mitzvah, it's a daily mitzvah on Kohanim to bless Bnei Yisrael. But there's a very, very famous Sefer HaCharedim. The Sefer HaCharedim lived, I forgot the name of the author, but the Sefer HaCharedim lived in Tzfat. He was a contemporary of the Ari. So that means he lived in Tzfat in the 1500s. He was a contemporary of the Mechaber. Okay, he was a Makubal. He writes as follows. It's quoted in the Bir Halacha in source number 6. Kasav b'sefer charedim, mitzvat aseh levarech kohen et Yisrael, shenemar kotev orchu et b'nei Yisrael. No chiddush yet. That's what we knew all along. Now gets to it. He says, V'Yisrael ha'omdim panim kineged pnei ha'kohanim b'shtika, and non-Kohanim, regular Jews, who stand face-to-face, quietly, opposite the Kohanim, u'mechavnim libam lekabel b'katam, and they stand there having intention to accept the blessing, kidvar Hashem, according to what God wishes, heim nami b'chlal ha'mitzvah. Ad kan lishano ve'haviyu achronim. Right, says the Mishnah Berurah. This is well known. It's brought by Beni Achronim. So the question is, what does it mean, heim nami b'chlal ha'mitzvah? That when we stand in shul and face the Kohanim and we have kavana to accept the bracha, we are also part of the mitzvah. So, you know, it could just be an expression, or it could really be a halachic, you know, a halachic statement on the part of the Sefer HaCharedim. It's hard to know. You know, this is where you get back to the point. Are we just a lulav? We're just the chefetz shel mitzvah? Or do we play a role in it? So again, so everybody knows this is Sefer HaCharedim that says, no, and the Jewish people, when they stand there facing the Kohanim and they have kavana, they are also part of the mitzvah. So what part of the mitzvah exactly? You know, how active is our role? So here, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't speak about it directly, but you start to get a certain sense when you read what the Mechaber has to say. Look at source number 7. The Mechaber in Simon Kuf Chav Ches, this is Hilchos Nesias Kapayim Berchas Kohanim, says, Ein ha-mikra she-korei Kohanim rashai likrot Kohanim. The person who yells out Kohanim is not allowed to do so ad she-yichle mipi ha-tzibur amen she-onim achar berkat modim. He has to wait until everybody finishes saying amen at the end of Hatov Shimcha L'chon Ha'aleh Hodot. Everybody says amen. When they're quiet, he yells out Kohanim. So you say to yourself, okay, it doesn't sound like the most significant halacha. Presumably, you know, people should hear it. But the Mechaber continues. Ve'ein ha-kohanim rasha'im lahatchil birkat asher kiddushanu b'kedushato shel Aharon. Ad sheyichle dibur kriyat kohanim mipi ha-korei. Then he says, on the other hand, the kohanim have to wait until the guy who yells out, you know, if he's a fancy chazan, so he could do a whole chazanus for kohanim. So the kohanim have to wait until he finishes saying kohanim. Only then can they begin to make the bracha. Va'achar sheberchu ha-kohanim asher kiddushanu b'kedushato shel Aharon, einam rasha'im lahatchil yivarechecha, ad sheyichle mipi kol ha-tzibur amen she'onim achar birkat asher kiddushanu b'kedushato shel Aharon. Next stage, he says, Kohanim can't start saying Yivarecha until everybody finishes saying Amen to the bracha. And it goes on. V'chein, einam rasha'im la'tchil b'teva ad she'tichla teva m'pi amakre. So the guy who says Yivarecha, the chazan, I guess, Kohanim have to wait for him to say the whole Yivarecha, finish the word, they can't overlap, then they say Yivarecha. And similarly, the tzibur ve'inat tzibur onim amen ad she'tichle bracha mipi ha'kohanim. We can't say amen until they finish saying all the words. Okay, now it's a long sif katan, and he could have just said, "Listen, this is a special din. Don't overlap. You know, everybody should be respectful. Everybody should wait. The person who says kohanim should wait for the people to finish saying amen. Kohanim should only respond once they're quiet, etc., etc." Rav Asher pointed out, he says, the sense you get in Shulchan Aruch is that both sides are doing part of the mitzvah. Right? He doesn't just say everybody should be quiet so they could hear every word that the Kohanim say. He says, you know, we have to wait to say our part till they finish their part. They have to wait to say their part till we finish our part. The sense you get, even though he doesn't say it explicitly, is that there's sort of, you know, there are two sides to it. Yes, the Kohanim bless us, but at the same time, the Kohanim don't bless us until we invite the blessing and until we say all the words. I always assumed, for example, that the reason why the Chazan says Yivrecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha, you know, each word at a time, is because Kohanim have their hands up, so they can't, you know, what if they don't know it by heart? So they need somebody to prompt them. But it's at least a possibility when you listen to the Mechaber that no, that's the non-Kohanim asking them for a bracha, right? The part that's 1,000% clear, both from the Mechaber and from the Rush we saw previously, is that Kohanim don't have to start duchening unless somebody calls out Kohanim. That person who calls out Kohanim is fulfilling a halachic obligation of ours, of the non-Kohanim, to invite the bracha. Right? Without that Kohanim, nothing's going to happen. Now, I'll say this. I think it's true. I believe what I'm saying is true. But there is an obvious question that you could ask me if you wanted to. And that is, when there's only one Kohen, nobody calls out to him. Now, it could be, well, simply because the grammar doesn't work. Kohanim is plural, and if there's only one Kohen, you don't need to. But it's problematic for what I'm saying. If I want to argue that when we say Kohanim, they respond, you know, the question is, why don't we do it if there's only one Kohen? But again, the Rush said what he said, which is, Kohen's only in trouble if he doesn't respond to the invitation of Kohanim. And so I believe deeply that in support of what we saw in the name of the Sefer HaCharedim, in source number 6, yes, we have a part of the mitzvah. The part of the mitzvah is that we're proactive in that we invite the Kohanim to do it, and we say certain words, and we respond to them, and we have a chelek in the mitzvah. Okay, I think, you know, so one second, Rabbi Silverberg. So, for example, technically speaking, if you're not in shul, Kohanim can bless you anyway. You're called Amshe Bisado. But I think the point is, and Rav Asher made this point once, and that is, if you're there, you get a bigger chelek. It's true. Kohanim bless all the Jewish people, not just people in shul, which is why there's an interesting halacha. Beit Knesset Shekulo Kohanim, they duchen. Because they're covering Am Shabbos Sadot. But if you're in shul and you're opening yourself up, you're preparing yourself to accept the bracha, your chelek is bigger. Right? So for example, once I learned this, you know, your posture, instead of sitting with your arms folded, you know, like passively, I think you want to stand up straight with your arms sort of open, so that you can partner with Kohanim to get the bracha. The difference between these two shitos might be explanation for a halacha l'maisa machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I want to make sure I get the shitos right. The question is, what if you're still in the middle of Shemona Esrei, the quiet Shemona Esrei, when Kohanim are duchanim? Right? What do you do? So as I remember it, Rav Moshe says you should stop Shmona Esrei and pay attention. You can't say Amen because that would be a hefsek, but you should stop Shmona Esrei and pay attention. It's Rav El Yashiv. I'm sorry, it's not Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav El Yashiv says you don't need to pay attention to have the bracha land on you. And I think it was Rav Asher who said it. So that's the two sides of the machlokas. If you want to be an active participant, if you believe that non-Kohanim have a chelek in the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim, then you should stop your Shmona Esrei and pay attention. But according to Rav El Yashiv, no, it's the mitzvah belongs to the Kohanim. You're just passive. So if you're just passive, you can continue davening because the mitzvah will, the bracha will land on you anyway. Rabbi Silverberg, you wanted to say something.
You answered it. The question was, Kohanim, and you answered
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. So I think that is the answer. Okay, let's now go to something that's discussed widely, and it's fascinating, and that is, how did we land up with different minhagim? All right? And who's right? Meaning, is it the case that what we do in Eretz Yisrael, or what Kohanim do in Eretz Yisrael, is correct, and you know everybody other than the Sephardi Minyan and Bnei Ashurin is wrong? You know, how did it happen, and what is it? So Here, I'll just point out something interesting, which is in Israel, when you duchen every day, it's not so exciting. Nobody sings. It's just something you got to get done, right? There is the price you pay for doing it every day. In Chutz La'aretz, when you duchen only, more or less 5 times a year, it's much more exciting. And that's just human nature. You know, the more you do something, the less exciting it is, and the less excited you get for the religious impact of it. Okay, we'll work back. Well, we'll work backwards. It used to be, and I think most of you know this, it used to be that nobody duchened every day. Well, I'll say it a different way. It used to be that everybody duchened every day in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Kohanim duchened every day in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no question about it. Somehow we lost that at some point. It's hard to know exactly where or how, because Birkat Kohanim is not necessarily a Beit HaMikdash din, right? You can duchen outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So a fair question is, well, why after Churban Bayis Sheni, assuming that that's when it happened, why did people stop duchening every day? If it was so clear, as the Rambam said, that it's a daily mitzvah, why would we have stopped it? So my guess is that even though it's a daily mitzvah, and even though nobody thought you couldn't duchen outside of the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, we do associate duchening with the Beis HaMikdash. And I'll point something out if I have it here. Oh, I took the wrong sheet. I don't have it. It is true that there's a difference in duchening in the Beis HaMikdash and outside of it. For example, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's only one bracha. It's a Mishnah. I thought I put it on the sheet. It's a Mishnah. For example, we say, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, Amen. That's one bracha. Ya Hashem Panav Elecha V'chunaka, that's the second bracha. Yisah Hashem Panav Elecha V'yaseh Mecha Shalom, that's the third bracha. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was one bracha. Second thing is that our Kohanim, obviously I don't look, but I know this, our Kohanim do it with their arms outstretched straight ahead, right? So their arms are shoulder level out. In the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim did like a touchdown thing, right? Their hands were straight up. So there were differences. And I think the sense people had was that in the Beit HaMikdash, Kohanim are doing it for real. And outside of the Beit HaMikdash, it's more of a Zecher LeMikdash. It's more of like sort of copying what happened in the Beit HaMikdash. And I'll tell you sort of not the most compelling, but a proof to that. I've mentioned this before. In the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Chinuch just goes by Parsha. So you can't really say, he put this after this and before this. It's because he sees them as a group. Doesn't work that way in the Sefer HaChinuch, but in the Rambam, it does. While on the one hand, nobody fully understands exactly the order of the Rambam's Taryag Mitzvah. So for example, nobody thinks that 128 is less important than number 26, which is what we're doing today. Everybody recognizes that the Rambam, when he put together the Sefer HaMitzvos, he did it thematically. There is, in fact, a connection. The Rambam put one mitzvah after another mitzvah. Almost certainly, it's because he saw some connection or some progression. So Birkat Kohanim is number 26 in the Rambam. Just to let you know, the mitzvahs before it are Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, Kohanim, washing their hands and feet in the Beis HaMikdash, Hadlakat HaMenorah, Lechem HaPanim, Kitoret, then Birkat Kohanim. It's clear that the Rambam sees Birkat Kohanim in its perfect state as something that's done in the Beis HaMikdash. And so my guess is, and this is just a guess, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, people were down, they were depressed. There was a sense that we shouldn't be duchening every day. I didn't find it any place, I can't prove it, but that seems to be the case. Okay, how did the minhag change in the land of Israel? So this everybody knows. When the Talmidei Hagra, the students of the Vilna Gaon believed that the halacha was wrong and that people should be duchening every day, when his students came to Eretz Yisrael, they came with great confidence, and they changed minhagim. So, for example, you know, nobody in Israel says Baruch Hashem La'olam, right? In Teaneck, except for Jackie, most people say it. In you know, that's a Gruff thing. They just came and said the Gruff thinks you shouldn't be saying Baruch Hashem La'olam, so everybody stopped, right? In Israel, every shul starts, they daven Nusach Sfar, they start with Hodu, they daven Nusach Ashkenaz, they start with Mizmor Shir. Why? Because the Gruff said that Birchos HaShachar are not part of davening. There's something you do in the morning before you come to shul. So the Gruz Talmidim basically changed all the minhagim. Now, just to make clear, it's not really fair to say they changed the minhagim. There really weren't any minhagim because there really weren't that many Jews. You know, when the Talmid HaGra got here, like in 1800, whatever the exact, you know, there wasn't much going on. So it's not like they showed up and affirmatively changed every minhag. They simply established the minhagim. And for the most part, any minhag you come across in the land of Israel, if it's different than something that's done in Chutz La'aretz, it's almost always traceable to the Gra. That, of course, leaves an interesting question, which is, then why in Vilna didn't he change the minhag? Right? If the Gra thought this was so important that his Talmidim should come to Israel and institute Birchat Kohanim every day, why didn't he do that in his own shul? And here you have all these spooky things that he wanted to do it, and there was a fire the night. That night there was a fire, and somehow min hashamayim ikvuhu. Right, there's a lot of stuff that the Gra was on his way to make aliyah, and then min hashamayim they stopped him. You know, academics and real students of the Gra believe that the Gra wanted to bring the geula, and the signs from heaven were that the time had not arrived. You know, apparently the Gra wanted to redo Shulchan Aruch, to return it, you know, over time. This is a good example of something. Over time, things have changed. And what we have as the accepted halacha isn't always what the accepted halacha was 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. And what some students of the Gra say was that he was writing his own Shulchan Aruch, which would have been like the pristine halacha. And once again, min shamayim, they told him not to do it. He very much wanted to bring Mashiach, but in the end, you know, you can't speed it up if it's not the time. That is, you know, a fight that still exists nowadays in Israel. How much of a role do we have? But let's go back to the question of how it came to be that in Chutz La'aretz, you don't duchen every day. Source number 8, here's the Beis Yosef, right? This is as big a source as it could be. The Beis Yosef's Kosova Agur. Shenishal Meharim Mulan. He was asked this question from the Maharil. Lama ein hakohanim nosin kapehem b'chol yom. Why don't kohanim duchen every day? Me'achar shehu mitzvah taseh. You're looking, it's a mitzvah taseh. It's a daily mitzvah. Why don't they do it? Ve'heshiv. So the Maharil answer. Mipnei sheminhag hakohanim litvol kodem. Because the kohanim established a minhag to go to mikvah before they duchen, kemosha kasubagos maimonios, ubechol yom kashel lahem litvol. It's hard to do it every day. And bachoref, you know, they didn't have heated water. It's freezing cold. Vilachain Allah minhag dafka biyom tov. Okay, so therefore the minhag changed, and kohanim only duchen on yom tov. So hopefully everybody here is saying to themselves, this is ridiculous. Right? How could it be that Kohanim established a minhag? It's not required. The minhag is we like to go to mikvah before we duchen. And the second they couldn't keep that minhag, they were mevatel a mitzvah saseh. That's one. Second explanation says, davka biyom tov gam mitam bitul melacha. So now we duchen only on yom tov, mostly because people don't work, so it doesn't take as long. And anyway, he says, "Ukishek hakohen eino mikra, eino over adkan lishono." He says, and the last thing is, even if you think it's wrong, as we saw originally in the name of the rush, if no one yells out kohanim, then the kohanim are not doing anything wrong if they choose not, if they don't duchen, because they have to be called to duchen. Now the Beis Yosef says what hopefully each of you is thinking. Dachak atzmo lekayem minhag mekomo. He really, really forced himself here to try to justify the minhag. Ve'eino maspik. But it's not justifiable. That which he said that the Kohanim had a minhag to go to mikvah before. And he says, it's a classic example of something that looked like a chumrah, but turns out to be a kulahi. Vitali tanya bidilo tanya. And you establish a reason based on something that's not a reason. Why? Shaharei tefillah l'nisiut kapayim, going to mikvah, lo huzkara b'talmud. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. V'imheim nahagu l'hachmir v'litvol, if they have a chumrah, they have a minhag to go to mikvah, lama batlu bishvil kach shalosh asei b'chol yom. What gives them the right then to violate three asays, as the Gemara had said we saw before, every day? Afal pi sheino over elim kein nikra, and it's true. Kohen's not really mevatel mitzvah unless he's called. Mikol makom mutav lahem sheyikaimu shalosh asei b'chol yom v'lo yitbulu. Obviously, it's much better to be mekayim three mitzvahs asays every day and not to go to mikvah. And now he says, v'yasher kocham shel b'nei eretz Yisrael. And the Beis Yosef says, you know, the Jews in Israel are correct. V'chol malchus Mitzrayim, apparently in Egypt also, shenosim kapayim b'chol yom ve'enam tovlim l'nesiut kapayim. Much better to duchen every day and not go to mikvah. So two things just happened here. One is it's a really, really great Beis Yosef who points out the following. It's a law in physics, right? For every chumrah, there is an equal and opposite kula. So for example, I'll give you an example. You know, when the rush came to Spain, Jews didn't wear tefillin every day. You know why? They were so nervous about gufnaki. You know, what if I have a bad thought? What if I have to go to the bathroom? You know, the rush said, what are you doing? There's a mitzvah. You know, their chumrah of being so careful not to have a bad thought while they wore tefillin stopped them from wearing tefillin, which is a mitzvah saseh. You know, we have this in our life. I mentioned it once before around Pesach. I know we're so machmir about chametz and taroves chametz and kidneyos that we land up selling chametz mamish. It's a chumrah de asi di de kula. You know, that's just the way the halachic system works. The more you're machmir in one area, the more you're going to have to be mekil in another area because there's no other way to do it. So the Beis Yosef points out the obvious here. We're not into chumras if they're going to lead to kulos. A chumrah of going to mikvah is a lovely minhag if you have it, but not at the expense of a mitzvah saseh min haTorah of duchening. The other thing to notice here is it's against what I said before. The Beis Yosef lived in the 1500s. It means before the Gra came, the Beis Yosef thought that in Tzfat at least, people duchened every day. And the history that I provided before is not as straightforward as I said, because again, he recognized that people were duchening every day. Okay. There is it's famous, otherwise I wouldn't know it. There is a Shut Min HaShamayim. He lived in the 1300s. He was probably one of the last of the Balei HaTosfos. And he has an interesting take on it. He says, Va'od nistapaknu ala mekamot sheyesham kohanim haru'uyim levarech birkat kohanim v'lo nohagu levarech. Afilu pa'amachat bashana. He has a different take. He says, I know shuls, I'm guessing in France, where there are kohanim and they never duchen. Not even once a year. Means they really saw it as a Beis HaMikdash halacha. V'sha'alti al zeh. So he said, so I asked, what's up with that? Im yesh aveira b'davar zeh, o im yesh lismoch al Rabbeinu Yaakov, are they over in aveira, or can they be somech on the rush that we saw before? Shomer she'ein ha'kohanim mitzuvim levarech, ela im kein Yisrael omrim lahem. Right? Maybe they didn't do anything wrong, because if you don't yell out kohanim, then the kohanim don't have to do it. Veheshivu, and the answer was Elu va'elu ovrim heim. He said both sides are wrong. Yisrael she'ein omrim lahem. We non-kohanim who don't yell out kohanim, domim she'ein choshishim lebirkat avihem sheva shamayim. It appears that we're not interested in their blessing and God's blessing because we don't do it, and they of course are wrong because they're not blessing the Jewish people, which is their mitzvah. Okay, so that's the Shut Min HaShamayim. He thinks everybody was wrong. It does seem to be the case. I don't know if the minhag will change. My guess is it won't. because we don't have powerful enough leadership religiously now to have a change. But, you know, it seems to me that duchening every day seems like the right thing to do. I was part of a discussion recently where people in Israel at least said, somebody needs to step up and make chutzla Eretz adjust their Kriyas HaTorah schedule to Eretz Yisrael, to ours, because Eretz Yisrael is the capital of the Jewish people, and you guys are supposed to be doing what we're doing. Now, again, we don't really have a system that will allow that to happen. I don't see Birkat Kohanim becoming a daily mitzvah in chutzla Eretz, even though I think if you asked any posek, they would say, yeah, it seems right. But nobody really has the strength to do it. Just like there's no plan to align the reading of Torah to align with Eretz Yisrael, even though probably, especially with travel and all that, it's the right thing to do. Okay, so we saw three things. One, we saw that while God doesn't need help from Kohanim to give brachos, God wants us to earn the bracha. Therefore, we ask, and they give us the bracha, and we're better for it, and therefore God's goodness lands on us. Second, a mitzvah given in the Torah that's not bound by a particular time requirement is almost always going to be a daily mitzvah. Third, the daily mitzvah thing almost certainly applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. The good news is that technically speaking, Kohanim don't have to duchen unless we invite them to do so. Which means, okay, no one's doing anything terribly wrong in Chutz La'aretz, but the preponderance of Rishonim seem to say that we, the non-Kohanim, are supposed to invite them to give a bracha. And the last thing is, the Sefer HaCharedim, that it's a shared mitzvah. You know, technically speaking, halachically, it's a mitzvah just for Kohanim. But it looks like, as it plays out, that we really do have a role, particularly in inviting them to bless us. And it turns out that the yelling out of Kohanim and Shul is not just to tell them to start together. It's of significant halachic import in that it is the representative of the non-Kohanim are saying to the Kohanim, we want you to bless us, and therefore we really have a chelek in the bracha. As a result, of course, we're supposed to stand still, face the Kohanim, say Amen, and invite the bracha to land on us. Okay. That's the halachic part. Very last part of the shir, just because I think it's a nice idea, and it's something I always wondered about. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Amid Bet, source number 10, says as follows: Amru Malachei Asharis Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Kasuv B'Torah Techo. It says in your Torah, Asher Lo Yisafanim V'Lo Yikach Shochad. It says that you are a God who doesn't play favorites and doesn't accept bribes. What are we going to do? V'halo atah nosei panim l'Yisrael, but you favor the Jewish people. D'chsiv, yisa Hashem panav eilecha. That God will favor us. Amar lam. So it's great. So the Kohanim basically say to God, you promised you wouldn't favor anybody, but then in Birchas Kohanim, you announce that you will favor the Jewish people. What's up with that? Amar lahem. So God answers them, and he basically says, you're right. He says, V'chilo esafanim liYisrael. How could I not favor the Jewish people? Shekatavti lohem baTorah. I wrote in the Torah, va'achalta v'savata uverachtas Hashem Elokecha. I wrote that you're supposed to bench only when you're satiated. V'savata v'heim medaktikim al atzmam ad kizayis v'ad kibetza. But they are machmir on themselves, and they bench even for a kizayis, even for a kibetza, even if they're not satiated. So it's a strange Gemara, because essentially what the Gemara says is, God says, how can I not favor them? You know, they have this chumrah. And I think to myself, and smarter people than me have thought to themselves, what's up with that? There's a million drabbanans. There's a million things we've taken upon ourselves. Why dafka the fact that we bench, you know, on less than a kidei sevia? Why is that the thing that God chose to favor us about when there are so many other things? You know, you just kept 3 days of Shavuos. That's not in the Torah. That seems like a bigger deal, right? What's this? So I think it's a sfasemis, or I read this sfasemis and misunderstood it and then made it my own. It doesn't matter. The idea is as follows. And here's something we don't think about because it doesn't happen to us. But if you're benching on something less than a Kidei Sevilla, you know what it means? It means you're still hungry. Literally, we never bench if we're not hungry because we have a lot of food. But if you lived in the Middle Ages and, you know, you didn't get enough for lunch or for dinner and you go to sleep and you're hungry, to choose to bless God is to choose to see the facts other than what they are. You know, God promised us he'd bring us to the land of Israel. God promised us it would be Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. God promised us it would be V'achalta V'savata V'rachta Hashem Elokecha. And, you know, he didn't deliver. And we say, nonetheless, we're going to bench. Nonetheless, even though we're literally hungry, we're going to thank God for what he gave us. We're basically announcing that we choose to see the facts other than what they are. In which case, I think God says in response, I have no choice but to do the same. I have no choice but to see the fact, you know, to favor somebody is to see the facts other than as they are, right? Really, he doesn't deserve this. Really, she doesn't qualify, but I'm favoring them. So I'm changing the facts. And I think the answer is we change the facts for benching. God changes the facts in Birchas Kohanim. What do the two have to do with each other? Here, I think it's fascinating. What's benching? Benching is us blessing God. What's Birchas Kohanim? God through the Kohanim blessing us. And so I think unstated in the Gemara is this idea of if we choose to bless God when God is, you know, kiviyachol undeserving of the bracha, and we bench even though we're hungry, God blesses us through Birchas Kohanim, even though we may not deserve it. We earn the right to be God's favorites by favoring him. I think that's pshat. I think it's true. You know, whether you agree or not, I don't know. But that's a whole bunch of things about Birchas Kohanim. Yash koach to everybody. And I guess we're back next week. Thanks to all the sponsors.
Did you at all touch on Va'ahavta?
No, I told you at the beginning. I don't really know. You know, okay. A lot of people say that Kohanim, I didn't find that in sources. When I was a kid, everybody said, oh, they don't duchen in Chutz La'aretz because they're only happy in Israel. The Ahava part only comes in Israel. I don't know. There is stuff about a Kohen who hates somebody, you know, and he can't bless him, but ahava, it could happen in the shul, you know, is he allowed to duchen or not? That's discussed sometimes, but I wish I had something better to say about ba'ahava. If anybody else does, that would be great. All right. Anyway, thanks so much. Everybody have a great week.
Thank you.
Good